It's been a while, but we're back now. Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Ray Brewer for a basketball edition of the show. We're about midway through the season into league play. Still some big-time national games dangling out there, too. But excited to talk a little bit of basketball today. I hope you enjoyed some of our preview coverage, videos, and Super 7 and the like a month ago. I guess my big question is, since I haven't been around a lot since then, Brewer, as far as high school basketball, what's changed from your expectations coming into the season to where we are now, kind of in the middle of things, starting that home stretch to the playoffs?
You know, I don't even think what's changed, but I think what's been amped up a little more, Case, is I knew going into the year that there was four or five really, really good teams. Gorman, obviously, the multi-time defending state champs. Coronado, who's nipping at their heels with Jaden Hardy. Like, you know, Desert Pines with, you know, two or three Division I guys. But I think that's just been magnified for me because the competition is off the charts this year. There's a lot of good players, a lot of good teams. The playoffs are going to be just fun, man, especially over in the desert region when you have like a Liberty and a Julian Strother, a senior on his last stand, and, you know, Hardy and Gorman and, you know, whoever else. Spring Valley's with Webster has been really hot so far. Durango took Gorman to overtime, Chad Beaton's first year, Tone Hunter, right? So I think we knew going in that we had some parity and there was going to be some close games. But seeing some of these results as they trickle in every night, it just says, wow, we're going to be in for a great February, man.
Yeah, certainly looks like it's played to form so far, and we'll talk about a lot of the divisional, a lot of the league games. But kind of headlining the coming week in high school basketball, and is a week away, Martin Luther King Day. But those two teams you mentioned up top, Bishop Gorman and Coronado, kind of the two teams to beat, they each will be showcased nationally on television, at least in Gorman's case. I'm sure Coronado, there's some way you can watch it too. They're playing just big time programs a week from today, where we kind of get to see just how much of a factor they are on the national landscape.
Yeah, and I think that's what's real cool about the current state of high school basketball here in Las Vegas is you've got all these teams, you know, Liberty and Desert Pines, for example. They drove into California for, you know, a national tournament 2 weeks ago. Gorman's going to be on ESPN January 24th against Coronado. Coronado's hosting Cathedral Classic. Gorman is, you know, traveling, you know, across the country to play Oak Hill Academy on one day. And it's great for our brand of basketball, the notoriety and just the competition, because then when you get back to local play, everything is just that much easier for you to go through. And then we're really going to have some fireworks, like I said earlier, once the postseason comes around.
Yeah, so I danced around the opponents. You mentioned them, though. Gorman going to the Hoop Hall Classic in Massachusetts. They'll take on Roselle Catholic on Saturday and Oak Hill on Monday. Quite the challenging slate there. And Coronado, as you said, in the MLK Invitational, they are hosting Cathedral Catholic on Monday. So those are a couple to watch. Gorman right now, overall record, they stand at 13-2. Of course, the only two losses, no one locally, but they did lose to a couple of out-of-state opponents. Centennial Corona got them. I believe Centennial Corona's also beaten Coronado. They also had a close loss to Eastside Catholic from Washington. I know Gorman, there were some rumblings they had, like they were after a national championship. They thought they could be, you know, the number one team in the nation. It's pretty brutal, the schedule they've played, to be 13-2. That's kind of a long shot now, but I guess they have a chance to get back into the conversation if you can go up to Massachusetts and win a couple games, especially against a program that you always hear associated with high school basketball like Oak Hill.
Yeah, it could have been 12-3. Gorman lucky to survive Durango in a league play game last week. No Noah Tates, no Mawani Wilkinson, Case, two guys from our Super 7 team. Gorman prevails in overtime. Zion Collins went for like 40 points, 12 rebounds, 13 assists, and 9 steals, something like that. He does that seemingly every game. So, he did a good job, I guess, of picking up the slack, and I think kind of made a good little statement out there to the rest of the Valley.
Yeah, I just was clicking around to a few Gorman box scores while we were talking. The other kid who seems to be putting up big numbers, it seems like we had half the Gorman team on our preseason team, and the one kid we didn't, Braden Lamar, it seems like he's right there with Zion Collins kind of leading the team day in, day out.
Yeah, so Braden Lamar, a kid who was injured a little bit at the end of last year, getting some great minutes, major part of the rotation, playing basically the whole game, and he's really enhanced his stock a lot. I know Gorman thinks he's a Division I caliber type of player, and he's definitely getting a chance to get a lot of eyeballs on him. But just goes to show you the players that they have there, and when one guy goes down, another guy steps in and makes the most of the opportunity.
Yeah, so it really is on a nightly basis. Gorman has so many weapons. They're going to be tough to beat locally. This week, the only local game they have is Desert Oasis. Should be okay in that one. Then they have these two national games. I guess the 1B to Coronado's 1A, or to Bishop Gorman, I jumped to the gun too fast there. The 1B always has been Coronado. We've already kind of mentioned them. Where do you assess where they stand right now?
So I think Coronado is better this year than in years past. I know they've been kind of knocking at the door the last few years. They've won some regional championships. They've put guys into college basketball. But, you know, I was at their game last week with Liberty, and they put up 100 points. They got Julian Strother in foul trouble real quick. That kind of changed the face of the game. But they were just going so quick in transition with, you know, Felix Reeves and of course, you know, Jaden Hardy. But it just felt like they were on a different level, and they were going so quick and so smooth, and they had so many players that that were contributing, whether it was Kohler on the inside or Reeves or Kambala off the bench. And I just really, really came away blown, just absolutely impressed with Coronado, thinking, dang, they have a chance. I mean, you know how basketball is in high school, right? It's 32 minutes, and you take away like the start of the game and the start of the second half, that's probably like a good 6 or 7 minutes. Now we're down to a 30-minute game where anything could happen. And when you have the best player on the floor, Jaden Hardy, and he's getting everybody involved, he only had like 12 or 13 points against Liberty going into the fourth quarter, and then he made a bunch of free throws to get up to like 24 points. But he'd like 12 assists. And he was getting everybody involved, and everything was working so well. And he's a kid that could just do everything. If I'm Gorman and I'm watching that game, I'm like, oh, God, we could be in trouble.
Yeah, certainly a special player. We already knew that coming into this season, but Jaden Hardy's even elevated another level. Crazy to think he's a junior. Coronado stands at 9-5, although they've probably played an even tougher schedule than Gorman. So that 9-5 record is looking a lot better than it sounds. They haven't had even a close game with anyone locally. They played Centennial Corona twice, who I mentioned, one of the teams that had beaten Gorman. They nearly knocked them off the first time. They lost a close game. They got blown out the second time. It's just kind of interesting. If you put the two margins of victories together, it's about the same that Gorman lost to Coronado. So I don't know. I have a Coronado plus 5.5 in that game coming up from our preseason podcast. I'm feeling pretty good about it. These teams look pretty evenly matched to me.
Yeah, so January 24th, Cox Pavilion, ESPNU, I think the game's going to be on. Let me ask you this, Case. You're involved in sports. You understand sports as good as anybody I know.
I don't know about that, but okay, thank you.
If you're Kaufman or Rice, Kaufman the Coronado coach, Rice the Gorman coach, are you showing everything you got in that game on the 24th, ESPN, knowing that you'll be playing for regional championship 3 weeks later, knowing you're likely playing for the state championship 4 weeks later? Do you go out and give it your best and throw the kitchen sink to make an impact, to say, listen, there's no way you're beating us? Or do you kind of hold back a little and then mix it up slightly for the meeting in the playoffs?
We're playing basketball here on ESPN. These kids, you think they're going to be holding stuff back?
Maybe.
Look, I love basketball. It's very complex, but this isn't like, no, you're not holding anything back.
Okay.
That's a ludicrous claim. And I think you asked Kaufman and Rice this on the podcast, and I think I yelled at you then, and they totally agreed.
Well,
with
they're
me.
Not going to show your, they're not going to show your hands. If I'm Coronado, I throw the kitchen sink on that January 24th meeting to say, listen, we're serious, we're knocking down your door. But if I'm Gorman, I'm only running a few of my sets.
I mean, it's basketball. These sets aren't, how elaborate do you think these sets are? You're not hiding anything. There is no way. And Grant Rice, if he's listening, will have my back on this. He's not hiding anything. He wants to win this game.
You don't hold the hook and ladder for the playoffs in basketball? No. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm pretty sure we talked about this. I'm having deja vu.
Okay. Well, it's a darn good question. I'm glad I keep asking it.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. I mean, this is a huge moment. These kids, they're all close to each other, and they've been hearing about how this is the biggest game of the year. They both want to win it on ESPN. They're not going to – and the coaching staffs too. They're not going to say, we'll get them again in the playoffs. Let's just let the team play street ball this time. I mean, that's not going to happen.
So maybe we're a little guilty of focusing on the top two teams in town or in state, and Gorman and Coronado, but there's been other teams who've kind of caught our eye, if you will, throughout the course of the season. And two teams that I'm – who are the two teams, Case, that I'm always, like, super high on, and you're giving me a rash of you-know-what?
In basketball?
In just every sport.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, all the kitty cats are roaring, baby. They got a chance, bro.
I kind of cheated because I read your picks. Oh, but I'm pretty sure you're going. I think I might have gotten it anyway, but it's Desert Pines.
Desert Pines is good.
Although I feel like you weren't that high on Desert Pines basketball last year. Maybe I'm misremembering, but you're back on this year.
Absolutely back on. So let me tell you this. You know I'm a Rebel guy, right? I graduated from UNLV.
Correct.
And I love the Rebels. We all love the Rebels. We all want the Rebels to do good. Tell me the one player in maybe this is an old argument because we talk so much, but tell me the one player in town who would be a perfect fit for UNLV. Perfect fit.
Milos?
Yeah.
Okay.
God, he's so good, bro. He's only a sophomore. He's so smart with the ball. He shoots it well. He could get to the hole. He's a Las Vegas native. His family's got roots here. He's so good right now that I think he could single-handedly lift them to the state championship game. Now, they've got some really, really, really strong parts to go along with it, but I'm just super impressed with the Jags. And everything they're doing right now, and bro, they got a chance. It's you know, Anthony Swift, it's Cimarron, I can't say
the Conriquez.
Conriquez. When Darnell Washington gets back off his Georgia trip slash,
looks like he's played a couple games,
only a few, but he's so big and I mean physical on the inside, and they've been playing without him. Roland Gates has been good. They got a chance. They got a chance, but let me tell you about my kitty cats. Let me tell you about the old kitty cats.
I'm kind of surprised. Maybe I'm just getting old and misremembering everything, but I feel like last year, and I totally agree with you. I think you're right about Desert Pines. I thought last year you were a little down on them, if anything, but everyone you just named, this is like the exact same team, a year older.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you're saying. Uzan is an impressive player, and he's got like all the perfect complementary pieces around him. So I'm in agreement with Desert Pines. I don't remember you being this high on them coming into the year or anything.
Well,
I'm glad they've changed your opinion. Even though they, since I'm throwing out all the records, they're only 8-6. They've also played a tough schedule, though. Lost some close games to out-of-state opponents.
Yeah, so Vegas, as I blow them up, they lost the DP by 11, not the end of the world. But they also lost at Cheyenne and at Legacy. Not the end of the world. And then an ugly loss against Basic, who's massively improved, but still it's Basic, right?
Yeah, I was surprised. I haven't dug into it yet, but Basic's record is actually pretty strong. They were a team we weren't talking about at all coming into the year. So, I mean, Basic's at least tough this year. Was it last year or 2 years ago? They were just kind of a free square in that league. I don't think that's the case anymore.
So last year they went 5-21. Leonard Taylor knew he had some good young players in the program, but instead of putting them on varsity to kind of get beat up, he let them play JV together. And they had a really good JV season, got a winning mentality. Had some success, and that's kind of transferred over to varsity. I talked to him for that story, like five or six things that caught our eye or whatever. So good job by them. But let me throw out some of these kitty cats real fast. Surprisingly, they're only 1-3 in league. So I'm talking about a team that's 1-3.
Yeah, it seems like you might need to backtrack this one a little bit, as much as you love Vegas. That Basic game looks like it was good, though, 73-67.
It was a good game.
Seems like maybe we need to have a little – Vegas having a nice year, maybe. They have can catch fire late, but they're not exactly, I don't think they're on the Desert Pines level right now.
Okay, what if you're a sophomore and you're averaging 17 points a game?
That's impressive.
Tavante Jackson. Give the kid some love, Keith. Tavante Jackson, remember the name. Cottrell Wallace, remember the name. Fernando Carmona Jr., remember the name. The Kitty Cats are roaring. They'll be in the preseason top 10 next year because all those guys, underclassmen.
Yeah, and that means they could get better as the season went on, as I kind of already hinted at. So they might be a team to watch out for. Maybe they pull an upset here. They have Desert Pines again next week.
Are you a Seinfeld fan?
No. A little bit before my time. I mean, I probably would like it if I went back and watched.
A little before your time?
Yeah, when did it debut? I was probably like 2 years old.
All right, shoot. Well, anyways, I don't want to go into it. Let's get to the picks.
I'm actually kind of surprised you are. You're not usually into the pop
culture. I enjoy the TV. That show made me happy. Makes me happy, yeah.
Seinfeld debuted in, 1990? I was 3 years old. So, yeah, I think a little bit before my time. All right. Fair.
All right.
2 or 3 years old.
All right.
All right, so you want to talk about the picks? No one else we need to gush over?
Nah, okay. We gushed over the Kitty Cats and the Jags, big cats.
So our first set of games are going to be on Tuesday night. We're recording on a Monday, as we usually try to do, and it is a league game between Durango and Spring Valley. Should be a good one. I think you could make an argument for either side here.
Yeah, Tone Hunter against James Webster. Two good programs that'll be in the play. Everybody's in the playoffs, Case. Because you know how they do the playing games?
Oh, everyone
makes, everyone makes the playoffs. Okay. Yeah, so if you would actually be one of the top four teams, you'd advance all the way to like the quarters or the semis or whatever. But James Webster's been phenomenal for Spring Valley. I got the Grizz at home over Chad Beaton, who I'm in love with, and Tone Hunter.
This could be a battle for the two seed, though. I mean, you got to think it's going to come down to Silverado, Durango, and Spring Valley. I mean, they're the teams behind Gorman, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to say so. Man, just from what little I know, I think you can make an argument either way here. I will say, I hope I'm remembering the teams right, but I feel like Spring Valley at our media day, I really liked Coach Blair's, what he said. He was like, yeah, we're going to shoot people out of the gym. We're not going to pass up open shots. We want to get up and down. I really liked their the way they wanted to play coming into the season. It seems like it's worked out for them. That being said, I have to think of another way to say this. I think Durango just might have a few more players.
Jimmy, were you going to say Jimmy's and Joe's?
I was going to use the Brewer, Jimmy and Joe's, and then I would have to kick myself.
I love it.
I mean, wouldn't you say if you just go through the roster, or at least the starters, I think Durango might just have a little bit of edge in that. I'm not confident at all in this one, but I think ever so slightly I'll go with Durango.
Okay.
So a different game to get us started. We're on opposite sides. Canyon Springs at Cheyenne. We didn't mention either of these teams in the opening.
Yeah, Canyon Springs, you always feel like they have a chance to come out and win the region. But Jordan Davis and Shaq Carr aren't walking through the door anytime soon. I got Glenn Taylor in the Shields.
Yeah, kind of startling to see Canyon Springs has fallen on some hard times. Not quite the team they've been the last few years. Maybe they'll turn that around, but from what we've seen so far, it's got to be Cheyenne here. So I'll go Cheyenne times two. Down to the 3A, Moapa Valley is going to Boulder City.
Yeah, Boulder City and Shap are going to duke it out all year for supremacy. Ethan Speaker has been on fire for the Eagles this year. And Boulder City's got a good group of sophomores and juniors in every sport. I think we saw them all. They got the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to take your word for it here and go with the Eagles as well. Could be a closer game.
So if Moapa wins, are you going to blame me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know any. We didn't even talk about the 3A. I didn't have time to gather my thoughts on that.
The Cowboys are the favorites to win state.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
It's probably the greatest high school in Las Vegas. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Why haven't they won more state championships then, since I've been around?
Well, you're spreading it out for other sports. Okay, so it just doesn't happen overnight.
All right. Maybe we'll talk more about the 3A next week, and I can have more insight into this. But right now, I'm going to go with Boulder City. You sold me on Ethan Speaker. Legacy at Desert Pines.
DP, Anthony Swift, Conriquez.
I mean, yeah, that DP starting five is scary, and they aren't scared of anyone. I can't believe they're all back for another year. I can't pick against Desert Pines.
And I like how they play defense from corner to corner, 84 feet.
Yeah, high energy, lots of athletes. I think this Desert Pines team is special. I got to agree with you on that one. Foothill at Coronado.
It's always a big game. Foothill, of course, won the league last year. They've been rivals for, I don't know what, the last 6 or 7 years. But like I said, Coronado is just on another level this year. Foothill has got a lot of young players, even though the Booker kid's been good. Drake Booker, I believe. I can't get off Coronado.
Yeah, and I believe it was – I think, if I have this right, it was interesting last year. Foothill won the league despite not beating Coronado, or maybe they beat them one of the two times and got blown out. I don't – it was an interesting series. It was – Liberty was really the one that opened the door for Foothill to win it, right? Because Liberty beat Coronado a pair of times. We've already seen Coronado exact their revenge against Liberty with that 100-point game you witnessed. I feel like something similar might be in store for Foothill. They know the Falcons probably have more league titles than they do, crazy to say. And I think
they do. They do.
Yeah, I think they know they have to take them down. I mean, of course they do all the time, but I mean even recently. I think Coronado knows they have to take them down to get to where they want to be, and I think they'll be focused and you know, ready for this game. So I there's no way I can say Coronado wins by less than double digits here. So we're going to agree on that one as well. Your Las Vegas Wildcats at the El Dorado Sun Devils.
That kid's averaging almost 20 points a game, and he's a sophomore.
Well, that's...
And he weighs 140 pounds. Could you imagine when he has a sandwich? You know what I'm saying?
Maybe gets in the weight room.
Too. Varsity basketball, 20 points a game in a 36-minute... Is it 36 minutes? 8 times 4, right? 32-minute game.
Correct.
20 points a minute. 20 points a game. That's like a point a minute.
Yeah.
Kitty cats.
Okay.
I got Vegas.
I'd love to go with an upset somewhere, but I'm looking over El Dorado, and it seems like they might be in a little bit of a rebuilding year. I don't think they're quite on Vegas's level, so I got to agree with you here, too. I'm going to go with Vegas. That does it for Tuesday. On Wednesday, game you have a good rivalry. I think the teams have been better in the past, but they're both scraping and clawing for better playoff positioning this year. Palo Verde at Centennial.
Yeah, Case, just always a fun night when these two get together. Rivals, same league. And I think this one pretty equal on both sides. It's a true coin flip game. I'm taking the home team, Shane Thomas and the Dogs.
Oh, so home court matters now? Good thing you broke down 11 years later.
In this game, it does matter, yes.
I'm kind of impressed with some of Palo's scores. They're on a three-game win streak here where they've pretty much handled Legacy, Faith, and Shadow, who's probably not as good as the previous two. They've beaten them up pretty soundly. They're putting up some good numbers. I'm going to go with Palo Verde here. It could be short-sighted to me, but it seems like their resume is a little more impressive so far this year. So I'm going to go with the Panthers. We'll be opposite on that one. Cimarron Memorial at Faith Lutheran.
Have you looked at Faith scores?
In the process of it right now. I know it looks like Palo beat them by 11 last week.
1 week it looks like they're a team that could compete. The next week it looks like they're a year away.
They destroyed Cheyenne. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. One of the two ones where they look like they're ready to compete. Wasn't even close against them. Yeah, they seem like they have some offensive outages at times. They've also destroyed Centennial. So, yeah, I think you might be right on. It seems like they're up and down. Young team, maybe?
Yeah, I think they'll be up against Cimarron. I'll take the Crusaders.
I'll go with the Crusaders as well. It certainly seems like they have some potential. It's just a matter of it all congealing. Maybe this is the night where it does. I should have mentioned as well, this game is on January 17th, so Friday at Faith Lutheran. I think Faith Lutheran gets a win for its home crowd. And, of course, the last game you listed, I'm not surprised. Your self-proclaimed greatest high school sports programs, or whatever you just said, Chaparral, they're going on the road to take on Mojave.
Which is also a rematch of a state playoff game from last year. I got the Cowboys. I think
the Chaparral won, correct?
No, they lost.
Oh, the Mojave upset them?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember there was an upset.
Yeah. So this is it. This is the Cowboys' chance.
Yeah, Mojave sitting at 3-10. Chaparral only 6-7, but they're undefeated in league play. Some of their losses have come to teams in the higher level. Doesn't really look like this one should be all that close. It looks like Chaparral should roll, so I'm not surprised you decided to include this one. You just wanted us to sign off on singing the praises of the Cowboys.
Yeah, I want to make sure that we, yeah, you got it right.
All right, well, any parting thoughts before we sign off?
I would try to do about three or four more of these the year, and we'll be doing our picks. Thank you for the support.
All right, yep, for Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Monday on Prep Sports Now.